granted us Shrimad Bhagavatam, Council 11, Chapter 2. Text 48. Grihit Vapindraya Rathan Yona Vishti Narishyati Vishnur Mayam Idam Bhashan Savai Bhagavato Tamaha. Translation. Even while engaging his senses in contact with their objects, one who sees this whole world as the energy of Lord Vishnu is neither repelled nor elated. He is indeed the greatest among devotees. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the position of the Uttama Adhikari, or first class devotee of the Lord, is so worshipable that additional symptoms are now given in 8 verses. In Navyugendras, they've already described the Marajanini about the symptoms of a Uttama Adhikari and a Madhyam and a Kanishta. But they're so excited, so happy to speak about the qualities in Uttam that they give an extra 8 verses about that. It should be understood that unless one comes in contact with the lotus feet of a pure devotee of the Lord, the path of freedom from material illusion is very difficult to understand. In the 5th verse of Sri Upadesamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, Shushrushaya bhajana vignam ananyam anyanyandari shunya hridam dipsita sangalabhya. Quote, one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Srila Prabhupada commented, in this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advises a devotee to be intelligent enough to distinguish between the Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. A neophyte Vaishnav, or a Vaishnav situated on the intermediate platform, can also accept disciples, but such disciples must be on the same platform, and it should be understood they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Therefore, disciples should be careful to accept an Uttama Adhikari as a spiritual master. Therefore, additional symptoms will now be given so the conditioned soul who desires to go back home, back to Godhead, can properly identify the bona fide spiritual master. That's such a big topic. So, as the purport is describing, Prabhupada's writing that a person who wants to be liberated from this material bondage, they have to be careful. They want to find someone who's already liberated. And he says that a neophyte Vaishnav or a Vaishnav situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples. But such disciples must be on the same platform, and it should be understood they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. And sometimes this seems like a difficult thing to understand, because sometimes Srila Prabhupada said all of you should be guru, and said things like that. But here Prabhupada is saying that they can't, if someone takes initiation from such a person, they can't advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under their insufficient guidance. Then why can they initiate at all? And who would want to take initiation from such a person? So we should understand that who is it that can give initiation? It's described that a Vaishnav can do that. Well, who is a Vaishnav? That's described in Narada Pancharatra. Krishna Mantra Dujara Mukha Yashakarnam Prayati Cha Tam Vaishnavam Jagatputam Pravadanti Puravida. Those persons who know spiritual science, they say that a person is a Vaishnava, he's able to purify the entire world because he's received Krishna mantra from the mouth of the twice born guru. So someone who's gotten mantra, they're a Vaishnava. That's a very simple definition. In other places it says that someone who wears Vaishnav tilak, who chants the holy name, that's a Vaishnav. They may be a Kanishta Vaishnav, but they can give the mantra that they've gotten from their guru. They can give the spiritual information that they've received from their guru. And if someone is a sincere seeker of the absolute truth, those things are very substantial, that mantra. And that spiritual information. Yo mantra sa guru sakshat, yo guru sahari swayam. We should know that the mantra is not different from our guru. Prabhupada gave that mantra. If someone else is giving that mantra, you're getting Srila Prabhupada from them. They may not be a completely realized person, but they can give that thing. And therefore Prabhupada says that a Kanishtha or a Madhyam can also give initiation. But such disciples must be on the same platform, and it should be understood they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. So such disciples, they shouldn't be more elevated than that person. If they're less elevated, that's, I think, implied here, or on the same platform, they're also conditioned souls, and they can get some benefit from that. But if they're more elevated, then they may want things and they need things which that guru is not able to give them. Our Guru Maharaj used to sometimes say that if you only have $1, how can you give $100? You can only give what you have. So Prabhupada says that under their insufficient guidance, they can't progress very well. Prabhupada describes in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, his purport to text 14, another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly bound by the ropes of illusion. A man, bound by the hands and feet, cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. And he's referring specifically to the modes of material nature, in verse Daivi Esha Gunamayi. Therefore, Prabhupada says, only Lord Krishna, or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. The same point is made in Smriti Shastra, and in many different places. Bhande ko bhanda milai chuttai kona upai seva karne bhanda ki palamai deya chudaya. If someone is bound and shackled, they're all tied up, and they reach another person who's also bound and shackled, how can they free them? In other words, if a materially desirous person reaches a materially desired spiritual master, then how can he become liberated? Therefore, one should take shelter of a liberated soul. Again, this is described by Kabirdas in Smriti Shastra. Guru lobhi sishya lalasi donan ke lai dhanva donan duve vapade bhaita patar kinava. If the guru, the guru is greedy, he has material desires, and if his disciples also have unlimited sensual desires, then both of them may take initiation and make a big ceremony, fireworks and so many nice things like that, and they have promises and things. But actually they're all situated in the material world. And it's compared to a person sitting on a boat that's made out of rock. You're taking shelter of that boat to save you from the ocean. But that rock, along with you, both sink in the ocean of material existence. So the guru should be bona fide. It's not a cheap thing. It's not an easy thing to become guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's warned devotees that it's not an easy thing that we should just cheaply take that, oh, I can become guru now. Just anybody who has mantra can be guru. So I've gotten mantra, so I'll also become guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was asked by devotees, what is the qualification of guru? And can we become guru? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he spoke very, very strongly about that thing. He said that we, that person who, he says, we need to have more gurus. And he says, but there's a problem. When we become guru, then we cease to become a Vaishnava. And we start identifying ourselves. Yes, I'm a guru. And it's like sometimes people, they say, this is my disciple. This person and that. This is my wife. This is my husband. This is my child. This person belongs to me. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes an elevated Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada, exalted soul, may also say something like that. But he doesn't think like that. Srila Prabhupada used to say that all of you are like my guru. That Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has sent you. And I'm seeing my guru in you. That's the attitude of a genuine guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for he says that it's very difficult to find a genuine guru, because as soon as someone thinks that they're guru, then immediately they become guru. They become a cow. And he says that the symptom of a bona fide guru is that they never think that they're guru. Rather, they think that they're everyone else's servant. They never identify themselves that way. He says the work of the spiritual master is done by those who have been sent here by the Lord from the transcendental world. That's the work of guru. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. That's Surup Shakti Krishna Pushtaparikar. That Surup Shakti, Krishna's internal potency, it descends. Bhakti Stu Bhagavad Bhakta Sangena Parijayate. Bhakti comes from bhakti. Bhaktya Sanjayate Bhaktya, the 11th canto says. Life comes from life. Life doesn't come from dead bodies. Bhakti doesn't come in the material world. Bhakti descends in the spiritual world through the via medium of Krishna's devotees. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that those gurus, they take on the appearance of ordinary human beings for the sake of unfortunate conditioned souls like ourselves to deliver them from the three miseries and send them back to the divine realm. The Lord's messengers, the carriers of His divine message, are the intimate associates of the Lord. He says, one is eligible to become guru if he speaks nothing but Hari Katha, if he never instructs one in anything other than devotional service, and if he does not waste even a second of the day in activities other than pleasing Krishna. He says, an insincere hypocrite cannot be a guru. One whose aspiration is for mundane activity cannot be a guru. Pseudo-gurus should be turned out and exposed. If one selfishly uses the gifts his disciples have surrendered to the Lord, taking them as a means to accumulate wealth, women, and worldly fame, then he should be renounced immediately as a cheater. One should not listen to the words of such a rascal. One who purloins the materials that are meant for God's service in his own selfish interest is not worthy of the name guru. He says, a servant of illusion may disguise himself as a spiritual master, but he will never be able to approach Mahaprabhu Gaurasundara through the enjoying mentality. So sometimes people, they pose themselves as guru because they're very greedy. It's described in this verse by Kabirdas. Guru Lobhi, Sushila Lasi, he has some greed and therefore he accepts disciples. But both of them sink like a person taking shelter of a stone boat. There's one Puranic story that once there was a guru who was walking with his only disciple that he had. And as he was walking along, they came across a rather horrific sight. There was a large snake laying in the road, which was dying. The snake wasn't dead yet, but it was covered with insects that were eating it, even while it was still alive, and the snake was rolling around in pain while the insects were eating it. And that Vaishnav saw that thing, and he stopped for a moment, and then he laughed, and he kept walking. And his disciple came running up. He said, Guru Maharaj, I don't understand. This is not a very nice thing to see. Why are you laughing about it? And that sadhu told his disciple, he said, that snake in his previous life was a guru who wasn't really qualified. And all those ants and insects which are eating him Those are his disciples. So this sadhu, when he told his disciple that, gosh, so Guru Maharaj, then why are you laughing? And the sadhu told him, he said, I'm laughing because I only have one disciple. So it's a good thing. It's not that we want to accept such a burden. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, the genuine guru doesn't make anyone his disciple. A genuine guru doesn't make anyone his disciple. Rather, he makes everyone his guru by turning those who have no interest in Krishna into devotees. He tries to give Krishna pleasure by engaging everyone in his service, in Krishna's service. The guru's vision is that everything has importance. Thus, his every action is an act of devotion. The spiritual master sees the guru everywhere and everything related to Krishna. For him, nothing is insignificant. Nothing is seen as an object of the senses. For him, nothing is insignificant. You read sometimes about the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how they would carry out their activities, even their ordinary activities, like bathing and brushing your teeth and doing those kind of things. He said they carried those things out with attention. Many times it's said like that. Because we may think it's just an ordinary activity, but even those activities, they're treating as a very significant thing. To them, nothing is insignificant. The guru's work is a lot like that of a medical professor in the university. He's not making students, but doctors. Similarly, the guru is making other gurus. He says, if the Vaishnavas do not play the role of guru, then the transcendental family of Vaishnavas will dwindle and disappear. The problem is that as soon as one becomes guru, he ceases to be a Vaishnava. Therefore, it's not proper to act as guru if one is not qualified. This means only inauspicious results for the guru and fall down, inauspicious results for the disciple and fall down for the guru. The spiritual master does not identify himself as a guru, for his inner identification as a servant of God is too powerful. If the spiritual master thinks of himself as a guru, then the first vowel of the name changes and he becomes Guru, a cow. So this is a qualification of guru. If someone comes to us, not just one person, but maybe a whole bunch of people, and they start telling you, oh, Guruji, you're wonderful. And they start writing about you on the internet and glorifying you and saying, Chaita Guru Prabhu, he's such an elevated Vaishnava, and he's so expert in this and that and the other. That's a very dangerous thing. You might actually start believing that. The conditioned soul in this material world is always in a crisis, an identity crisis, trying to figure out who they are. They don't have positive information. And therefore, they wrap themselves up in upadis, like someone wraps himself up in clothes. Different designations. Who am I? Oh, I am the son of XYZ. I am the daughter of this person. I am the husband. I am the wife. And when other people start glorifying us, the same things about us that we like, that we find pleasing to our senses, then immediately such a conditioned soul latches onto those things. Yes, they hold them up. See, this is what I am. I'm good. Because 20 people have said that I'm good. Therefore, that's what I am. They like that identification. And then what to speak if we have some upadhi, some designation, which is a respectful upadhi in society. I'm a manager. I'm a GBC. I'm a guru. I'm an exalted devotee. Even I'm a Prabhupada disciple. I'm a disciple of Gaura Govinda Maharaj. If we're not careful, if we're not free from material consciousness, then it's very easy to start identifying with those things. Yes, this is me. I'm really good. But really, we're none of those things. We're a spirit soul. And we identify ourselves as a disciple of our Gurudev, but we don't think I'm a qualified disciple. I'm a very, very unqualified disciple. And therefore, Gopayad Guru Matmanaha, Samoyan Tantra, cited in Hari Bhakti Vilas, states, Hydra Guru, who are you? Are you so close to your guru? Are you on the same level as your guru? Has he told you to go and advertise to everyone that you're his disciple? When you're such a rascal, you can't even control your senses, you're so eager and so greedy for praise and fame, why should you advertise yourself as a disciple of your guru? Rather, we should say that, yes, I've received initiation. We don't deny our guru. I've received initiation from my guru Maharaj, and I'm trying to become a qualified disciple. I'm trying to become a genuine disciple. So we should be very, very careful. In our society, many people, if you start to get some class, if you start to preach or something, many people will come and say, oh, you're a guru. I want to accept you as my spiritual master, either grossly or in a subtle way. And we have to be very, very careful. And we should see that this person is actually my enemy. Although they're speaking words that I find very flattering and pleasing, actually that person is really my enemy. Because if I drink the poison that they're offering to me in the form of flattering and sweet words, then I'm going to become destroyed. I want to associate with someone who's going to make me uncomfortable. Who is that? That person is a sadhu. And the very word sadhu means that someone who cuts. And how do they cut? They cut with their sharp words. We don't like to be around them because they're going to tell us some very harsh, unpleasant things. They're going to tell us the truth. So I don't want to associate with such a person. Or if I do associate with such a person, I don't want to hear the truth from them. I want them to flatter me. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that if the guru becomes a sycophant, then he's no longer helpful to the disciple. We want to enjoy life. And if we become sick, then we go to a doctor. My Guru Maharaj used to say it like this. We go to the doctor, and we want a doctor who will give us some prescription that we like. So you go to a doctor and you tell the doctor, oh, my dear doctor, I like very much to eat meat. Very nice. So here, let me give you a large amount of money. Now you please make a prescription that every day I'm supposed to eat meat. And the doctor takes the money and takes your temperature and listens to your heartbeat. And he says, yes, yes, you're correct. You should eat meat 4 times a day. Yes, very good doctor. I like him very much. So such a person can't help us. We need to associate with someone who can actually speak very, very harsh words to us. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to tell a story in this regard, which is based on a kind of logic that's known as Andago Langula Nyaya. Angago Langula Nyaya means the logic of the Anda, the blind man, and the Golangula, the cow's, the bull's tail. There's this kind of logic, Andago Langula Nyaya, the logic of the blind man and the bull's tail. And he said that once there was a blind man, and he was going from his native village to go to visit his daughter-in-law, who lived in a nearby another village some distance away. But he was thinking that how will I go there? It's a very, very difficult thing. I don't know, I'm blind, and how will I go to this distant village? So he was trying to find someone to help him. And he met a barber. And this barber, he liked to play practical jokes. So that blind man asked the barber, can you please help me? Can you find a guide for me who can take me to my daughter-in-law's house? And just at that time, that barber, he noticed there was a bull nearby. And he realized that bull actually belongs to his daughter's husband. Yes, yes, I have a very nice guide for you. Someone who's from your daughter's house, and they can take you there. Here, you just come and hold on to the tail of this nice, gentle cow. And this cow, she'll take you there to your daddy's house. She'll be your guide. He couldn't understand. It was actually a bull, a very large bull. So he got hold of the tail. What do you think happened? The bull became frightened and started running. And then the blind man became frightened. Oh, I'm going to get lost. So he held on even tighter to the bull's tail. And the bull was running and running for many hours, dragging him through thorns and over rocky things. And practically, he was nearly dead. And finally, the bull, by the end of the day, went back to its house. So he took him to that place. And then he was laying there outside. He was moaning and making some sound. And the people in the house heard that. They came out, who's this? What? Oh, it's a thief, some chor. They came out and they started beating him. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, this is like taking someone who's not a qualified guru, taking shelter of such a bull. And such a person is simply going to bring you unlimited misery and suffering. Mm-hmm. But foolish people, they want to do that. They want to accept someone as guru who's not really qualified. Because such a person, he'll flatter me, he'll say some sweet things, and very, very nice. But ultimately, you're going to suffer so much. And therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said it's not proper to act as guru if one's not qualified. That means only inauspicious results for the disciple and fall down for the guru. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he said in that Upadeshamrita purport we read, that a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttama Adhikari as a guru, someone who's really qualified. And that qualification is bhajan, vignamananyananya, that they're very expert in bhajan, and then dadishinya hridamiksita, their heart is free from the propensity to criticize others. They know how to engage in bhajan, and they know what we need for our personal self. Some people say that you should chant 64 rounds. My Guru Maharaj, he used to tell the devotees, you can't chant 64 rounds. It's not possible for you. Better you don't even try to do that. He would say, you chant 16 rounds. He says, Prabhupada gave everything on those 16 rounds. You do that. Because Prabhupada was expert. He saw what we needed. And he said, you do this thing. And if you, as you become more qualified, then later you may take more medicine, you may chant 32 rounds, you may chant 64. It's not that Prabhupada said, don't chant more. But we should do what we're qualified for. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it said that one should not chant too many rounds, nor too few rounds. What does that mean? And when speaking about japa, well, we understand I shouldn't chant too few, but what's wrong with chanting more? Kirtaniya Sadahari, Mahaprabhu says that we should always chant. But the point Sanatana Goswami explains in his purport is that japa, chanting is of two kinds, sankhya and asankhya. And asankhya chanting, there's no rules and regulations for. You can chant any time, any place, it's no problem. But sankhya, japa, counting, there's some rules to that. And you shouldn't chant too little. Then why you shouldn't chant too much? Meaning that your guru always wants you to chant more. But it's not that one day I decide I'm going to chant 25 rounds, and then the next day I'll chant 16, and the day after that I'll chant 30, and the day after that I'll chant 5. I had a bad day. No, you should chant a certain amount, and you should be very strict about that. And if you're going to chant more, then you should do that as a regular activity. Or perhaps you may take a vow on Ekadasi, I'm going to chant this many rounds, or on this particular day I'm going to chant this many rounds, and you should meet that vow. That's part of sankhya. I'm going to chant in this way. So we should find a guru who is a qualified person. Otherwise, we'll have a very, very difficult time. Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion, a conditioned soul cannot deliver another conditioned soul. Only Krishna, or a bona fide representative, can deliver him. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in purport to Madhya 24.330, Prabhupada writes, the guru must be situated on the topmost platform of devotional service. There are three classes of devotees, and the guru must be accepted from the topmost class. When one has attained the topmost position of Mahabhagavat, he is to be accepted as a guru and worshipped exactly like Hari, the personality of Godhead. Only such a person is eligible to occupy the post of guru. This should be our attitude. Again, Prabhupada says this in many, many places. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, in one purport, Help can only be given by the spiritual master like Krishna. The conclusion is that a spiritual master is 100% Krishna conscious, is a bona fide spiritual master, for he can solve the problems of life. So this point is made again and again and again and again throughout our literatures. And we may ask a question, what is the necessity of accepting a guru like that? I can just find someone who is a little more advanced than me, who has some information and has the mantra. That's sufficient. What more do I need? And then as that person becomes more advanced himself, then he'll also be able to help me. Srila Prabhupada called that the philosophy of post-dated check. I owe you $10,000. Well, I don't have the money right now, but I'll give you a post-dated check. And in the future, I'll be able to have it. Well, tomorrow you may die. How do I know? So we should be careful not to accept a guru like that. Guru is that person who can destroy our doubt. The third chapter of the 11th canto describes what is a guru. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignasu shre uttama sabdi parichanishna tam brahmani pasamashrayam. That guru is someone who knows the inner meaning of the Vedas, is fixed in the absolute truth, and is expert in shastra. In Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he describes his purport to this verse, sabde brahmani vedi vedata parya ghana pake shastra antare cha nishnatam nipunam anita si shastra samsaya cheda bhave. He says that if the guru is not realized and not fully absorbed, his consciousness is not fully absorbed in transcendental sound vibration, then he won't be able to dispel the doubts of the disciple. And the disciple won't be able to make proper advancement. Therefore, Prabhupada says that thing, in Nectar Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, that a disciple won't be able to advance properly in his insufficient guidance. Because the guru is not able to dispel his doubts, because he's not properly situated in transcendental sound. Prabhupada says a similar thing in a lecture he gave in Detroit in June 14, 1976. He said, Yesha Devi Parabhakti Yata Devi. That is the secret of success. If one has got unflinching faith in his spiritual master in Krishna, then he's successful. These two things. Guru Krishna Kripaya Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So if the guru is false, how can they keep their faith? That will be broken. Our process is very simple. There's no difficulty. The guru has to be situated in a transcendental platform, otherwise he won't be able to keep the faith of the disciple. And for a disciple who's lost faith in their guru, they're in a very, very terrible situation. A very horrible situation. What can they do? Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha says that sometimes someone may take initiation from someone with faith. They have faith in that person. And why do we have to have faith in Guru? That faith is required because that Guru is going to guide you. He's going to give you instructions. If I don't have faith in him, then how am I going to follow his instruction? If he tells me to do something, I don't have faith in him, then well, he said this, but I don't know if I really have to do it. It's not so important. No, you should see that he's Krishna's representative. And whatever he tells me, I should do that thing. Therefore, Sanatana Das, in his Guru Vandana, he says that Mahimaya Guru Krishna Eka Kori Jana. We should have this conviction that my Gurudev is not different from Krishna. And with that conviction, Guru Agya Hridi Sabha Satya Kori Mana. You should accept his instruction that this is directly coming from Krishna. This instruction is divine reality. And for such a person, Satya Gani Guru Vakya Jahara Vishvasu. Jahara Vishvas is very, very, has firm faith in the Guru Vakya, the instructions of his Guru. Avasya Tahara Hoya Praja Bhumi Vas. They're always living in Vrindavan. They're situated in the spiritual world. The Guru has brought them there. So it's absolutely important. The disciple has to have faith in their Guru. It's not an ecclesiastical matter. Ecclesiastical means that there's some ritual, some official ceremony that I do for some religious purpose. It's not very nice. I've been living in Budapest now for so many years, and I'm just Bhakta. They call me Bhakta this, Bhakta that. But if I get initiation, then everybody's going to respect me. Nobody likes me because I'm just a Bhakta. They're not very friendly with me. They're always pushing me. I should take initiation. So I'll do that, even though I don't really have a proper faith. That's not right. That's not the reason to take initiation. We take initiation from a guru because we're crying, because we're desperate. Because I want Krishna. And I want someone who can help me. And I want to take a shelter of someone who can help me, that I have firm faith in, that this person, they're qualified. And even if perhaps that guru is not so qualified, if I have strong faith in him, then still you'll get the proper result. There's one Upanishad story it's told that once there was a prostitute who was living in a village. And she was a prostitute, but she felt very, very bad because of her occupation. And she saw, living not far from her, one sadhu who was always doing his bhajan and sadhana. So she was always thinking about that sadhu and how elevated he was and how fallen she was. So after some time of meditating on him, she became purified. And eventually she came to him crying and fell at his feet, "Please give me initiation." That sadhu, he looked at her, and he actually wasn't a very qualified person. He didn't have spiritual vision. He wasn't a transparent by medium for the Lord. Otherwise he would have understood her need and her position. But not understanding her position, therefore he thought she's not a qualified person. So she said, "Oh, please, please, initiate me." So he said, yes, I'll do that. You chant this mantra, Dinky Dinky. Dinky is a Sanskrit word. It means like it's a thing that they use to thrash the wheat. It's like two stones. And he told her that thing. And she thought, Dinky. Dinky is what they use for this. But she thought, "Oh, this must be some name for Krishna. Oh, thank you very much." And she was so happy, "You giving me initiation." And then she started chanting, "Dinky, dinky, 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 dinky," with great faith. That this is what my Guru Maharaj gave me. And as she was chanting, "Dinky, dinky, dinky, dinky," she was thinking of Krishna. That this is one of Krishna's names, Dinky, dinky, dinky. So, Yesha Devi Parab Bhakti Yata Devi Tata Guru. Jiva Goswami comments in this Upanishad verse that one who has implicit faith in the Guru, whatever quality of faith we have in our Guru, will also have the same quality of faith in Krishna. Yo mantra sa guru sakshad yo guru sahari swayam. The mantra that you get is not different from your guru and it's not different from the Lord. So she had strong faith in that mantra, strong faith in her guru, even though the guru wasn't such a qualified person and the mantra was just dinky dinky. She was sitting and chanting that thing and she became absorbed in samadhi. One day there was a great flood and that sadhu's ashram, the water went up past the roof of his building, he climbed up into a tree. And he's sitting up in the tree waiting for the water to go down. And suddenly he heard some sound. Dinky, 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 dinky. And there was that prostitute sitting on a log. She'd been sitting on this log when the flood came. And she was just so absorbed in chanting and thinking of Krishna. She didn't even notice the flood. And she was there on this log just chanting, complete samadhi. And the guru saw her and realized, "Oh, she's more qualified than me. She's more qualified." So he can help her to a certain extent. And if the disciple has faith in the Guru, we can see. You may not be such a good person. We were telling a story the other day about one Mataji I know who became a devotee, an initiated devotee, and the person who convinced her to go to the Hare Krishnas was a pimp and a drug dealer. A very nasty person, but somehow she had some faith in that person. Even though he was an unqualified person, but she had some faith. And because of that faith, she got a very good result. So it's a simple point, actually. If someone has faith in us, then we can say something. Even when we may not be so qualified, we can help them. But we should understand that if I'm not deeply realized person, if I'm not realizing Krishna, then this is a very, very dangerous thing for me to try to prematurely accept the position of guru. And therefore Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says that it's not proper to act as guru if one's not qualified. That means only inauspicious results for the disciple and fall down for the guru. We should just be simple. Spiritual life means that we take shelter of Guru and Krishna and we do whatever they've instructed us to do. We don't speculate and try to do someone else's activity that we're not qualified for. So we'll stop there. Grantha Rashmir Bhagavatam Aki Jai Go Premanandi Vibhu.